And I just want to point something out that God kind of brought out to me this past week in my reading and studying and preparing. And reality of it is that for the child of God, we know that we can walk with God. We know that in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible tells you and I in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so just that one verse right there lets you and I know that up until Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, God would come in the cool of the day and God would walk with them. And then if you know your Bible, you know that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God drove them out of the garden, never allowed them to come back in. That fellowship between man and God was broken. And then at Calvary, when Jesus paid your sin debt in mine, He didn't just die for your sin, amen. He died to restore that relationship between man and God. And when you get saved, Jesus takes your hand, and Jesus takes the hand of His Father, and He puts your hands in the Father's hand, and He reconciles you to God so that now you might be able to have fellowship with God. That's the reason why the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, amen, signifying to you and I that we now have access to God, we can have fellowship with God, and we can walk with God. And then Genesis chapter number 5 reveals to you and I a man that we don't have much about in the Word of God, other than God went out of His way right here, and also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 to tell you and I that here is a man that walked with God. In verse number 21, and Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. I'd say it's a pretty good long while to walk with God, amen. And 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Dear Lord, we come to You in prayer tonight, dear God. We thank You for all that You've already done today, dear God. The great singing, the great fellowship, the food, dear God. Just everything that You've already done today, dear God. And we just pray You'll hide us behind the cross tonight for a little while, dear God. We pray that You might slow us down a little bit tonight, that we might be able to preach and teach at the same time, dear God. And I just pray, dear God, we'd learn some things tonight about walking with God and come to the realization in all of our life that if we are saved, if we are on our way to heaven tonight, dear God, that one reason why You've given us the Holy Spirit of God and the reason why You've given us the Word of God is so that we might have sweet fellowship with You, so that we might walk with You in the cool of the day, and that we might have that fellowship to know that You're there and that You're with us, dear God. And boy, what a great thing that is to know, dear God, that not only did You send Your Son to die on the cross to pay our sin debt, but boy, You made a way for us to be reconciled unto You, dear God, that we might be restored unto You and have that relationship again, dear God, and that the fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden up until they sinned, dear God, that we can once again enjoy that fellowship. I pray that You'd take these young adults around here, dear God. You have blessed us with a great crop of young people. And I pray, God, that at some point within their life that they might put on the brakes and might realize in their own heart and in their own life, dear God, that there's more to life than video games. There's more to life than television. There's more than life than all the things that the world has, dear God. But there is a deep walk with God that every man can have, dear God, as long as he desires it, as long as he seeks after it, dear God. We know that we can have that intimate relationship with You. And I pray, God, You'd help us see that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the Bible really don't tell you and I a lot about Enoch, other than the Bible just tells you and I that he walked with God for 300 years, and then there came a day in verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And boy, I've always said to myself when I read that, I would love to get that close to God, amen. Just to be walking with God one day, and God say, you know what, you're enjoying the fellowship, I'm enjoying the fellowship, so why don't we just walk on in the glory, amen. Boy, when I get to heaven, again, we don't know what it's going to be like, but I'd sure like to walk up to Enoch and say, Enoch, how was that, amen. One day you're just out there walking with God, and next thing you know, you're translated, you're home in glory. That must have been some sweet fellowship, amen. But in Job chapter number 22, I believe Job gives you an hour. The book of Job gives you an hour, four guiding principles tonight that will help you and I walk with God, and that we can apply to our life today. And if we'll learn to do these things in our life, we can learn to walk with God every day. And I will say this before I read some verses tonight. If you're saved tonight and you're born again tonight, there has to come a time in your life where you realize that God wants to walk with you and fellowship with you, amen. And God wants to be with you, and God wants to have an intimate relationship with you, and God wants you to know Him. God wants to reveal Himself to you. He does it through nature. He does it through everything you and I see today. He does it through the Word of God. He does it through the Holy Spirit of God. I think one thing that kills our generation today is that, again, I'm going to hit it again tonight, these cell phones and all these other things, and we've got all this noise going on in our life that we never take time to really kind of just stop. And I've had to learn to do this, and I learned to do it a long time ago, and it helped me in my walk with God. That whenever I get in my office and take time to study and prepare, I've learned to just kind of turn my cell phone off and lay it to the side. Amen. That, why is that? Because I don't need all these distractions. I need to know what does God have to say? What does God want to say to me? I don't need to see anything against my family. I enjoy when they go to meet with a meeting. But I'll tell you, some of the sweetest times in my life is when I'm driving over to the Port of Texas or wherever I'm going, and I'm the only one in the car. And usually if you ride with me, one thing you'll find out, I don't turn the radio on very much, because I've learned to do this. If you'll just get in the car and turn the radio off and lay your cell phone down and just ride down the road and say, God, I'm your servant and I'm listening and my ears open, and God, if you'd speak to me right now, God, I'd really like to hear what you have to say. And I understand it's not necessarily an audible voice, but if you're saved tonight, and if you've ever heard the voice of God, you know what I'm talking about. There are times when God will move in your heart and in your life, and you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is God speaking to me. This is God communicating with me. This is God who is impressing my heart. This is God that is leading me in this direction. But there's some things you got to do. Again, we get saved, and the day you and I got saved, God did not take you and I to heaven. If all this thing is about that I get saved so that I don't need to go to hell, then when I get saved, why doesn't God take me to heaven? God doesn't do that. All of you in here today that are saved, the day you got saved, God didn't rapture you. God didn't take you to heaven. God left you here to find His will for your life and then get busy serving Him and then develop a relationship with Him, because God wants to fellowship with you and I. Why did God create you and I tonight? Whether you believe it or not, you young people hear this all the time, especially in your generation. Well, why are we here? What is the purpose of life? Why was I born? Why am I here? You'll know why you're here tonight, because God created you, because God wanted to fellowship with you, and God wanted to save you, and then God wanted to develop a relationship with you, and then God wants to use you. Isn't it amazing tonight? Here's something about this. God could have used the angels to spread the gospel. God could have used the angels to preach the gospel. God could have used the angels to get the work that He needed to be done. God did not need you and I, but God chose to create man. And God didn't need you and I. God didn't need man, but yet God chose to create man. And then God put man on the earth, and God says, all right, now whenever I save you and I put my spirit within you, now I want to develop a relationship with you. So again, Job chapter number 22 tonight, and I'll give you four things and we'll go eat and go to the house, amen. But look in verse 21, and you ought to highlight these verses tonight. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. He's talking about God. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophrah as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vow. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thee. Now, what is Job 22 talking about? He's talking about God, the Almighty, amen, our Creator, amen. And if you'll pay attention to these verses tonight, he kind of lays out some things for you and I tonight, three things right here, and then we'll go somewhere else in a little bit, that if you and I will learn to apply them to our life, you and I can learn to have a walk with God and fellowship with God, and God can begin to draw nigh unto you. The Bible does say, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you, amen. That is in the Word of God tonight. And notice what the word he uses right there. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come of it. You know what he's saying right there? If you'll get acquainted with God, you'll have peace in your heart and good will come of it. Amen. That word acquaint in the 1828 Webster Dictionary means to acquaint oneself is to gain an intimate and particular knowledge, a state of having intimate knowledge or more than sight or spiteful knowledge. You know what he's saying right there? If you will learn to acquaint yourself with God, you'll learn to have an intimate relationship with God. When you acquaint with somebody, you get to know somebody. One of the greatest ways you can explain that tonight is me and Christy's married tonight. And there are things in here tonight that all of you know about Miss Christy tonight, but there are some things in here tonight that you don't know about Christy tonight that I do know about Christy tonight because I've been married to her for quite a while now. And we have an intimate relationship. There's things that Brother Brent knows about his wife tonight that nobody else in this room knows and probably will never know. But the only reason why Brother Brent knows that is because they've been joined together. That's what marriage is. You coming together, one body coming together, and then you begin to grow together, and you begin to learn things about one another, and you develop an intimate relationship with them, and you begin to know things about them. There's some secrets I know about her tonight, and she knows about me tonight, that nobody else knows about, intimate details about our life that we don't share with anybody, but as we walk together in marriage, we develop that relationship. Well, he's saying right here that, look, if you want to walk with God tonight, you're going to have to develop a relationship with God, and then you're going to have to get acquainted with God, and not just have a little bit of knowledge of God. Again, tonight, I can go and say, well, you know, I know Brother Steele, I've pastored Brother Steele a while, but I guarantee you tonight, there's still some things tonight that Brother Terry knows about Brother Steele tonight that I don't know about Brother Steele tonight. Intimate details about his life that he don't want anybody else to know other than maybe his close family tonight. But that is who knows about that intimate details of his life. And as you begin to walk with God, God begins to reveal things to you, and God begins to reveal himself to you. And as you begin to develop that intimate relationship with God, you begin to understand and know things about God that the average child of God does not know about God tonight. And the average child of God tonight, sitting within our Baptist churches tonight, don't know very intimate details about God, who he is, how he works, and how that he works in our lives and the different aspects of God. Amen. And you say, how do I get that tonight? You get that by walking with God. Again, he says right there, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. You know what he's saying right there? If you'll get acquainted with God, not only will God put peace in your heart, but God will put blessings in your life that you will enjoy that nobody else will enjoy. And you say, how can I do that? Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early when I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know what David was saying right there? He's saying, God, I'm going to seek you early in the morning. And the reason why I'm going to seek you is because I want to see your power and your glory. Let me ask you this tonight. Since the day you got saved until you where you are tonight, have you ever seen the power of God? Have you ever seen the glory of God? Can you sit down tonight and say, Brother Joy, that there are times in my life where I have seen the power of God, where I have seen the glory of God, where I knew God was in the room, I knew God was speaking to me, I knew God was fellowshipping with me, and I know more about God. I can tell you this tonight, I know more about Christy tonight than I knew when I first started dating her, amen. And the longer we go and the longer we're married, the more I get to know about her. Well, my friend, that's the way it is in your walk with God and my walk with God. Or that's the way it should be tonight. If I'm saved 10 years tonight, I need to know more of God tonight than I knew when I got saved. If I've been saved 30 years tonight, I need to know more of God tonight than I did 30 years ago. But yet we've raised a generation today that all they really know of God is what they knew the day they got saved. I mean, you go up to a lot of people today and they'll tell you, well, you know, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. Okay, that's good. Amen. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But what else do you know? Well, I really don't know anything else. All I know is I was a sinner and I cried out to God and God saved me. And really that's really about the extent of my knowledge. That's having a superficial knowledge of God.
Right.
I know God sent His Son. I know that He died on the cross. I know that He paid my sin debt. I know that I confess. I know that I got saved. But that pretty much is the end of the trail for me.
Amen.
I can't tell you anything about the characteristic of God. I can't tell you anything about how that God moves or how that God works or how that God, you know, a lot of times, and again, I preach this in other places I go, and you guys are preaching about the voice of God and God talking to you, and boy, people just look at you like, what? What are you talking about, Brother Joy? The voice of God. And you mean God really speaks to you? And God really fellowships with you? And God really walks with you? Well, yeah, my friend, that's why God saved me tonight. And God wanted a relationship with me. And God wants to fellowship with me. And God wants to communicate with me. And you better get this nailed down in your life, or you're going to struggle the rest of your life. Amen. You want to know why some people tonight, they're in church 1 minute, they're out of church 1 minute, they're in church 1 minute, they're out of church 1 minute. And the reality is, they're really saved, they're really born again. And you look at them and you just think, I just can't figure out, why can't they ever get their feet settled? Why can't they ever just get in church? Why can't they ever just get grounded in the Word of God? And the reality of it is, at some point in their life after they got saved, they made a conscious decision to say, well, you know, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and really that's all I want. And can I say this tonight? God will let you sit on the pew the rest of your life, and God, if that's all you want, that's what God will give you. But my friend, hey, the book of Ephesians tells you and I, go study the book of Ephesians tonight, where God's telling you and I through the Apostle Paul that, hey, you've got much more than salvation tonight. I mean, you've got the Holy Spirit of God. You've got the Word of God. You've got the voice of God. You've got much more than just going to heaven when you die. And one day you're going to have to latch on to the reality that, hey, there's more to this thing than me going to heaven. There's a God that is real tonight, in heaven tonight, and He's real, more real than you'll ever believe tonight, and He works in men, and He works in the heart of men, just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man just like you and I, but God used Nehemiah to build the wall back, amen. And all throughout that Bible tonight, God uses men and God uses women to get the work of God done, and He uses men and women tonight who have their ear open and are listening, amen, and are willing to say, God, whatever You want me to do, wherever You want me to lead. Again, Abraham, I use him all the time, but God showed up in Abraham's life. God said, get up. God said, go. Abraham got up. Abraham went. Amen. God showed up in Noah's life. God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. You got 120 years. I need you to build an ark and get your family on the ark, and you'll be all right. What did Noah do? He wasn't a Baptist, amen. He couldn't have been a Baptist. Because Noah got up and Noah got busy. That's one of the hardest things to do with Baptists, is to get them up, number one, and it's like raising the dead, and then get them busy, amen. Get them to a place where they'll just say, hey, God, here am I, and I'll do whatever You want to do. But why did God use those people? Because they heard the voice. What if Noah wouldn't have knew God? What if Noah wouldn't have been listening for God? Noah would have died in the flood. What if Abraham would not have been listening to God and would not have got up and went out like God told him to do? Then who knows? It would have been somebody else we'd be reading about. But they were men that heard the voice of God. And not only did they hear the voice of God, but you know what that tells you tonight? To hear the voice of God, they were acquainted. And you know why you got to get acquainted with God? And I try to teach you young adults this, amen, is that the Bible tells you and I in the New Testament, there are different voices tonight that will speak to you and I, and you've got to be able to discern, is this the voice of God? Is this the voice of Satan? Is this the voice of the world? Who is speaking to me? And then once you discern it, you've got to be willing to answer the voice of God. But you got to know the voice of God. I guarantee you, out of all the women in this auditorium tonight, I guarantee if Christy was back there and y'all were all back there and she yelled, Joey, come here, I would know that voice.
Right.
I've been around her long enough, amen, I would know that's just Christy, and I might want to get up and get back there and see what she needs, amen.
Right.
Can I say we ought to be that familiar with God tonight?
Amen.
That we know His voice beyond any other voice? So number one, he said, you got to get acquainted. Can I say number two? And he goes on in verse 22. He says, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. And I say, second of all tonight, another principle that you're going to have to apply to your life, if you're going to walk with God, is not only are you going to have to be acquainted with God, but there must be reception in your life. Notice again what he said right there. Receive. Amen. What do you got to do to receive something? You got to receive it. There's got to be reception. Amen. And notice what he says right there. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his word in thine heart. In other words, he's saying, hey, you want to walk with God, not only do you have to be acquainted with God, but you've got to be willing to receive the Word of God. You've got to, again, one of the greatest ways that God speaks to you and I this side of Calvary is not just through the Holy Spirit of God tonight, but one of the greatest ways God speaks to you and I tonight is through the Word of God. Amen. People say all the time, I wish I knew the voice of God. I wish I heard God. And then you ask them, do you ever read your Bible? Well, no, I don't ever read my Bible. Well, that's probably a good indicator of why you don't hear the voice of God. Because I believe that Bible tonight is inspired, without error. It was written. I understand God used men to write it, but I believe they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write down the words of God. And people ask me, how narrow-minded are you, Brother Joy? I'll tell you how narrow-minded I am right there. That's how narrow-minded I am. I believe that is the very words of God that God used men to write down. But at the end of the day, I don't believe it's the words of men. I believe it's the words of God. And so anytime I want God to speak to me, all I've got to do is open the Word of God. And guess what I got right in front of my face? I have the words of God. But if I take the Word of God and all I do is lay it on the shelf, then I can't be walking around every day saying, well, God, you know, God don't ever speak to me. And I don't ever hear the voice of God. And, you know, I hear everybody talking about hearing God and hearing the voice of God. But, you know, Brother Joy, I just don't believe I've ever heard the voice of God. Well, my friend, open up the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Psalm 119:111. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Notice the end of verse 22 right there. He said, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. You say, why study the Word of God? Why meditate on the Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because you need to lodge it within your heart. Just like the person that put that comment on our social media, what the lady say right there? She says, thank you for preaching the light that drives out the darkness. That's what the Word of God does. The more I get in the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God, the more I study the Word of God, the more the Word of God drives out the darkness, and the more the light of God gets into my heart and in my life, and the more closer I can begin to walk with God. But I got to be willing to receive it. That's like the parable in the New Testament when Jesus gave that parable about the sower and the seed and how Jesus said, you know, some people come to the house of God or some people hear the Word of God and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Or some people hear the Word of God and immediately Satan comes and takes it away and it doesn't do any good. And some people have stony ground, but he did go on to say, but there are those who have good ground, and when the Word of God comes, they receive the Word of God, and then the Word of God gets in. How do I produce fruit in my life tonight? By letting the Word of God get in, and then allowing the Word of God to get out. But you know what I got to do to receive the Word of God? And it'll do a great day for you young adults here tonight. If you ever learn this, it'll help you in your walk with God. You know what you ought to be doing on Saturday night, and you know what you ought to be doing on Tuesday night? You ought to be preparing the ground within your heart so that when you get to the house of God, and when me or Brother Brent or any other man of God gets up, the ground is ready, and when the seed is sown, the seed can get in, and then the seed can begin to grow, and then you begin to produce fruit in your life, and then you begin to get closer to God, and you get more acquainted with God, and you know more about God, and you come to a place in your life to where you're going this way while everybody else is going that way, and people in the church are looking around and saying, how are they excelling? Amen. How is it that they're growing in the knowledge of God, and how is it that they're more closer to God than I am? I'll tell you why. They prepared the ground. I worked for a rice farmer for years, and you know one thing I learned working from a farmer? If you don't prepare that ground, it's a waste of time to throw out the seed and the fertilizer. But if you go out there and get that ground plowed up and get that ground ready and then get the water in there and then get the rice in there, it won't be very long. There'll be some rice coming up. But somebody had to prepare the ground. You young adults, if you can ever get a hopeless in your life, why do you come to the house of God? You come to the house of God so that you and Brother Brent and other men of God can throw the seed and throw the seed and throw the seed. But my friend, It takes two to do that. It takes somebody throwing the seed, but you got to get the ground ready.
Right.
That's why some people come in the house of God and they go right out. By the time they get in the parking lot, you go out there and ask them, "Well, what did the preacher preach on today?" Hang on, let me go ask my husband. Hang on, let me go ask somebody. It's like it went right here, and it went right out there, or either Satan came, and Satan snatched it away. You want to know one way Satan snatched the Word of God away in our generation? And just seeing the cell phones.
Right.
Man of God up pouring his heart out here over there. You know what that is? That's Satan snatching the Word of God.
Amen.
That's Satan using a tool or a device. What does the Bible say about beware of his what? His devices. Things that he will use to rob you of the Word of God. That's why, again, there's one preacher I know. You know what he started doing? Amen, this is a good idea. He started putting a basket out in the lobby. And whenever you come in, you put your cell phone in the basket. And when you leave service, you get your cell phone back. I say, amen, praise God, hallelujah, good idea. Because many people today sit there the whole entire service and just thumbing through their phone, playing on. I understand you get an emergency sometimes, but my friend, we went years and years and years and years and years without a cell phone, and we made it just fine. Our mom and dad's made it just fine. Our great-grandma and grandpa made it just fine. I mean, we've come, that's like a crutch in our life that we need to do away with sometimes and come in here and get our heart ready and get our heart plowed up so that when Brother Brent gets up to teach or I get up to preach or whoever it might be, we're there and we're ready to receive the Word of God and let the Word of God get in our heart and in our life. Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Again, how do you walk with God? By gaining knowledge. How do you gain knowledge? By letting the Word of God get inside of you. I'll read one verse and move on. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Notice what Paul said right there. He said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you received, in other words, there is reception. You received the word of God, which you heard of us, and you need to underline, pay attention to this. You received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the words of God. When the man of God gets up to deliver the Word of God, whether he is preaching the Word of God or whether he is teaching the Word of God, you have to have an understanding that if he is in line with God, it is not the words of man that you are hearing, but you are hearing the words of God. And he is simply delivering the Word of God to you, and you've got to be willing to receive the Word of God, because here's a reality tonight, and I'm trying to move on, but I'm going to take a little bit of liberty tonight, because here's a reality tonight. It's hard to walk with God when you're not willing to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
You have got to be willing to receive it. And again, there are some times where here is a reality. Sometimes the Word of God will cut you and I. Sometimes the Word of God will encourage you and I. Sometimes the Word of God will correct you and I. But you got to be willing to receive the Word of God. Can I say, third of all, look at verse 23. He's going in a progression right here. He said, again, acquaint not thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And here's the part nobody likes in this verse. Thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. And I understand we're in the Old Testament. I understand the word that he is using right there. But let me drive a point home right here. The Bible does tell you and I in the New Testament that we are a purchased possession tonight. That when you and I got saved, we became the dwelling house of the Holy Spirit of God. You are a walking tabernacle tonight.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God tabernacles within your heart and within your life, amen. And you know what he's saying right there? He's saying, look, if you want to walk with God, there's going to have to be departure in your life. Again, what I was preaching about a little bit this morning, you're going to have to come to a place in your life where you're willing to depart from things in your life to be able to walk with God. And I will tell you this tonight, whether you believe it or not, but the closer you walk with God, the harder it's going to be for you to walk with God, because the closer you get to God, the more God's going to drive things out of your life. Amen. And that's why he says right there, thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacle. In other words, you know what he's saying right there? You got to get sin out of your life. Brother Britt referred to Psalm 51. I'll go there real quick. When David got caught, he committed adultery. He committed sin, and then God confronted him through the man of God. But what does David say in Psalm 51 in verse number 12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But notice what he said right there. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In other words, there was a hindrance there in David's life. He didn't have the joy of God's salvation. In other words, there was a breach in David's life, and the sin that David had committed had now became between him and God, and he could not fellowship with God because there was iniquity in his life, and he had committed adultery, he had committed murder, and the man of God said, David, until you deal with that, God is going to judge you. God is going to break fellowship with you. You can't fellowship with idols and fellowship with God. It will never work. But again, one of the greatest messages I ever heard in my life, it was a pivotal point in my life. There's messages that you hear that kind of change the direction of your life. But I remember I was in a camp meeting one time, and Brother McKinnon got up and preached one night, and the title of his message was The Holier the Harder, and the whole gist of his message was that, look, the holier you get in your life, and the closer you walk with God, the harder it gets, because there are things that, again, God will begin to deal with you. And you will find that the more you walk with God, and the more you become acquainted with God, and the closer you get with God, again, the greatest example we have is Adam and Eve in the garden. God would come in the cool of the day, and God would walk with them, and God would fellowship with them. But the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God said, hey, you gotta depart, you gotta go, you gotta get out. You cannot abide, you gotta leave.
Right.
You know what God was saying? We can't fellowship no more. You have sinned. You have went against the holy God, and now that you have sinned, I'm gonna drive you out. And God drove them out.
Right.
My friend, Jesus dying on the cross was not just to pay your sin debt, but it was to take care of what Adam messed up in the garden so that we could have fellowship tonight. But here's what I understand, and I understand in studying the Word of God tonight, all throughout the Word of God, sin always separates you from God.
Amen.
I know we don't like being preaching on sin. I know we don't like preachers going and pulling those things out of the Word of God. But here's what Psalm 66 verse 18 tells you and I. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here's a great reality for you tonight. You might be saved on your way to heaven, but if you're living in sin, the Bible just told you and I, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear your prayer.
Amen.
Sometimes people say, I wonder why God don't ever answer my prayer. Well, it could be that maybe there's iniquity in your heart, or you're living in sin, and God's not going to answer your prayer.
Amen, brother.
Because you've got to put that iniquity, again, David, a great example. The man of God comes to David and says, David, thou art the man, and the sword will never depart from your house. Amen. And thank God, God made a way for David to repent and for David to get right. But again, David had to confess. Psalm 51 is a great chapter for you and I to study tonight. David had to get right with God. And David had to say, I am sorry for what I did. And I'm sorry for committing adultery. I'm sorry for having Uriah murdered. And what I did was wrong. And I shouldn't. Can I drive something home right here? Every sin you commit tonight, whether you believe this or not tonight, but every sin we commit tonight is against God.
Right.
Brother Joey, you sinned against me. No, I might have did you wrong, but the reality of it was I really sinned against God.
Right.
That's why David had to say, God, I'm repenting, I'm praying to you. Here's what Proverbs 28:13 says. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. But again, that's a great reference to Achan in the Bible. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You'd agree with me tonight. Achan did not prosper from that. Men lost their life. Achan and his whole entire family lost their lives.
Right.
Nobody prospered from the sin of Achan. You know the danger of sin tonight? Is not only does sin affect you tonight, but sin affects everybody around you. You know, people say this all the time. Well, it's my sin and it doesn't affect anybody. That is the biggest lie straight out of the pit of hell tonight, because your sin. If you're a man tonight and you go out and commit adultery, your sin affects you, it affects your wife, it affects your children, it affects the whole entire home. And any guy that will do that, And I pray to God, God guarded my heart, and I never get there because I'm a man just like anybody. But any man that'll do that is a selfish man. A selfish man. Any man that would cheat on his wife is a selfish man, only thinking of himself. And same thing goes for a lady that'll cheat on her husband. They're selfish, only thinking about themselves. Because your sin is going to impact everybody. But again, he tells you and I right there, he said, look, you got to get acquainted with God. You got to receive the Word of God. You got to be willing to get sin out of your life. You got to be willing to separate from that. And again, I know we don't like that in the world we live in today, but I'm telling you tonight, and you young adults in here tonight, if you want to walk with God, you're going to have to learn. Don't do like I did and wait till late in life to learn this. Learn it now. Don't do like I did and get out of church for a long period of time and then get back in and get right with God and have to learn this at a late age in life. Learn it now. If you're in your 19 and 20s, you ought to be learning this stuff right now. Let me say this to you young adults in here. You young men, lay down the stupid video game controller and pick up your Bible and get acquainted with God. If you spend 8 hours on a video game, get 3 hours at least of the Word of God and get in the Word of God and get acquainted with God. So that when you get my age, 48 years old, you can say, hey, not only do I know God, but I know details about God, and I've got a relationship with God that nobody else can give me other than God Himself. But you got to be willing to lay that down. It amazes me that we were talking about this earlier today. Amber, my wife was telling me, Amber had told her, whenever I get married, I want a man. I don't want a boy, I want a man. I want somebody that works. I want somebody that provides. You want to know how warped our society is, amen, and here we go, amen. You want to know how warped our society is? We've got a generation today where women are out working, making a living, while daddy's at home playing video games all day.
That's right.
God never determined it to be that way. When God told Adam and Eve out of the garden, God told Adam, from this day forth, you will earn your living by the sweat of your brow, and you will be the provider of your home, and you will take care of the home.
Amen.
And I understand there are different ways that we do that, but God save us from a generation of men where you've got a wife that's out working, trying to make a living, and you've got this 30-year-old guy that is at home, never works a day in his life, and all he knows how to do is pick up a video game. That is a warped society.
Right.
Satan has done, you know what? Satan has done such a great job of destroying our homes tonight. I took more slack in my marriage over this one thing from the day when me and Christy got married, and even at that time, I'll confess, I wasn't even in church at that time, but I still had enough dollars from being raised in church all my life. When me and Christy got married, you know what I told her, Joe? I said, as long as I can help it, you will never have to work a day in your life. I said, I will provide for you, and you will never have to work. She's only had to work one time in our whole entire marriage, and I think it was maybe a month or two. And I went and got her and said, you quit and come home. Raise our children. See, we got a warped society. We got daddy raising the children and mama working. When it ought to be mama raising the children and daddy working.
That's right.
I know some of you are going to shoot me tonight hanging out in the tree. It's all right, I feel okay. And I understand the world we live in. Sometimes both parents got to work. I get it. I understand. But you young boys look up here tonight. If you're going to marry a lady and you can't provide for her, do not walk down the aisle and say, I do.
Right.
If you cannot provide for her, do not do it. Now, I understand some people have health issues and others. I get that. I understand that. But if you're an able-bodied man and you can get up and you can function and you can work, God meant for you to provide for that lady. God meant for you to take care of that woman. I mean, it's all throughout the Word of God, whether you like it or not tonight. God intended for the man to take care of the woman. You know, I don't get this generation. You know, people ask me all the time, why are you down at the church working? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I enjoy working. I enjoy putting it together. I enjoy looking at it at the finished product and being able to say that was something that I put my hand to and I labored and here's the product of my labor. Where most men today, here's their ideal. Man, I defeated modern warfare. I defeated Minecraft. Amen. I made it to the next level. And boy, that man, I'm so proud of that. You need a good kick in the to see the pants is what you need. Amen. Praise God. Good preaching tonight, Brother Joel. Amen. I know some of you ain't enjoying this tonight, but I'm giving you Bible tonight. Whether you like it or not. God meant for you to take care of that home, man. And I understand sometimes you got illnesses and sometimes you can't do that, but I better get back on track, amen. So he said you got to get iniquity out of your life. And then Amos chapter 3, verse 3 is where we'll wrap it up tonight. You say, I want to have a close walk with God. Not only do you have to get acquainted with God, not only do you have to receive the Word of God, not only do you have to get iniquity out of your life, can I say third of all tonight, there must be an agreement if you're going to walk with God. Again, Amos 3:3, I referred to it this morning. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The only way you're going to walk with God and fellowship with God is you have got to be in agreement with God. You got to be in agreement with the will of God for your life. You got to be in agreement with the Word of God. And you know, we live in such a generation today, I'm amazed at people that say, well, I love God and I walk with God, but yet they don't agree with anything in the Word of God.
Right.
My friend, you cannot walk with God if you don't agree with the Word of God. You got to be in agreement. I know this, there's harmony in my house when me and Miss Christie's in agreement. There's harmony. When we ain't in agreement, there ain't much harmony, amen. But when we are in agreement, and when we're not arguing, and when we're not fussing and fighting, don't look at me like you don't do that. Every one of you married people in here, amen. If you tell me you don't ever have a fight in your home, amen, you're a liar, amen. I've been married long enough to know there's sometimes you have a little disagreement. It may not be a drag-out fist fight, but you do have disagreement sometimes.
Amen.
It's because there's not harmony. You're not in agreement. You know what makes a good godly home? When you got two people walking with God, in agreement with God, and in agreement with each other. You know why we've raised such a generation today of children that are warped in their thinking and they go to school and they say things like this, well, if you whip me, teacher, I'll call child welfare, I'll call mom or I'll call daddy. And you know where that comes from? Let me help all the married families in the house today. I know I'm just a young whippersnapper. Let me help you tonight. When it comes to raising your children tonight, the only way you're going to raise them children right and in the eyes of God and in the nurture and admiration of God is you're going to have to be in agreement. In other words, if daddy says no, and the child goes to mama, and mama tries to override daddy and say yes, there's not agreement right there.
That's right.
There's got to be an agreement. If daddy lays down and says, hey, this is what we're not going to do. I grew up at home that if my dad said, you're not going to do that, here's what I knew right off the bat. It would be a waste of my time to even go to mama, because here's what mama was going to tell me. If your dad said no, then that we're done.
Right.
Your dad said no, he's the head. Boy, Miss Gail, I'm going to get killed tonight. Here's the reality. Here's something else for the men. God made you not only to be a provider, but to be the spiritual leader of your home. And to all the women in here, whether you like it or not, God made you to submit to the man. This is all biblical, and I can back every bit of it up. God made you to submit to the man to be the lead. Now, if he's an idiot, I get it. You might not want to submit to him. You might not want to do that. But I'll say this tonight. If he's walking in harmony with God, and he's right with God, and he's following God, and he says, that's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what your job is to do, wife? Your job is to submit to him and follow him. Go back to the book of Genesis. That is your job.
Right.
But men, I'll say this to the men tonight. The men of our generation need to learn to do a better job of being the spiritual leader of the home.
Amen.
You can't, as Brother Farley would say, you can't be an idiot and expect her to follow you.
Right.
I'm sorry, you cannot be a blooming idiot tonight and somehow expect that lady to follow you. But if you'll get your heart right with God and get in the Word of God and lead your home the way God intended you to lead it, you know what she'll do? You know what I learned growing up in my house and I've even learned in my marriage? That if you'll just learn to follow God, she'll follow you.
Yeah.
Look up here, young men. If you'll learn this before you ever get married, if you will learn to just follow God now and live godly and holy and separate, when you get married, that woman will learn and she will follow you and won't even argue to do it.
Right.
Because she knows he's and I understand, as men, we make mistakes. We goof up sometimes. But if he's at least halfway trying to live right and follow God, follow him. He's going to make mistakes. You're not perfect. You make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes.
Right.
But anyways, I better get out of that before we get hung tonight. But again, if you're going to walk with God tonight, again, there's got to be a great Psalm 119, 165. Everybody loves this verse and some people hate it. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When I'm walking with God and I'm in tune with God and I'm in the Word of God, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to get offended by the preaching of the Word of God. Because here's what I understand. I understand that the Word of God will bring conviction into my life and into my heart. And through that conviction, if I learn to get right with God and learn to get things out of my life, then I can learn to walk with God. I love one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? Not grievous. In other words, I'm not going to be sitting around arguing and debating God. I'm going to be in agreement with God, and I'm going to say, God, Your Word is not grievous to me. God, if You say thou shalt not, then God, that's pretty simple. That means I shouldn't do it. I mean, can I just say tonight, it is really that simple? If the Word of God says thou shalt not, you say, but Brother Joey, what does that mean? Well, pretty simple. A kindergartner can probably figure it out. If I tell one of my children, thou shalt not, you know what they ought to be able to understand? Daddy just told me I couldn't do that.
Right.
Well, that's what our Heavenly Father gives us, the Word of God, so it can lead you and I and guide you and I. And when I come in agreement with God, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn to submit my life to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and I'm going to learn to allow the Word of God to lead and guide and direct my life. Because again, Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot walk with God if you're not in agreement with God.
Amen.
And you've got to be in agreement to the Word of God. And again, just like in a marriage, if two people are not agreed, it's not going to be a very good marriage. You know, and here's the philosophy we have today. Well, if you marry somebody and you don't agree, just divorce them and then go marry somebody else. If you don't agree with them, divorce them and go get you somebody else. And if you don't agree with them, divorce them and just keep the cycle going. Amen.
Right.
You know, sometimes people want to blame divorce. You know, I remember a preacher one time, been married 4 times, and somebody said, well, you know, it had to be the woman's fault every time. I said, oh, come on now. That guy's been married 4 times. He's been divorced 4 times. You ain't going to tell me it was the lady's fault every time. I mean, come on, 4 strikes and you're out. And you're going to tell me it was every single time it was the lady's fault? And the only way it could have been is that if he got a warped mind and he wasn't very good at picking out ladies, amen.
Right.
That was the only way. But here's the reality. That's what makes a great marriage tonight. Me and Christy have learned this so well, that if we will both get a walk with God, I'm telling you now. You say, Brother Joey, I want my marriage to work tonight. You young adults in here, all of y'all are at that age now where it may be long, I don't know, I hope it ain't. Y'all are nearing that pivot point where marriage is going to come. But my friend, if that girl is not willing to walk with God, don't marry her.
Right.
If the guy's not willing to walk with God, don't marry him. Because it's kind of like a girl I went to school with one time. She started dating a guy, and I remember the pastor and everybody around there kept telling her, you don't need to marry that guy. He's not saved. He don't go to church. And she kept saying, yeah, but if I marry him, I love him, and if we get married, I can change him, and I can get him in church. And the reality of it was, you know what ended up happening? He got her out of church.
Right.
And 3 years later, they're in divorce court. Where she probably would have been better off to listen to the advice of her pastor.
Right.
Don't be. What does the Bible say? And I understand it's really talking about us in the world, but you can apply it to marriage too. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Here's one we don't hear very much and we don't like very much, but here's the reality. If you're a believer tonight, you've got no business dating an unbeliever.
Right.
You've got no business at all dating an unbeliever. Because all that's going to do is bring trouble in the home. Because when you do get married, he or her, whichever side it is over here not wanting to live for God. And you're over here wanting to live for God. And there's going to be a battle in that home.
Right.
Because you got one going this way, you got one going this way, and it ain't ever, there's never going to be any peace in the home. But me and Christy's learning this as we go, and we're learning more and more every day. If she walks with God, and I walk with God, then we come into agreement with God and with each other, and it makes for a happy home.
Right.
Where you're not sitting there squabbling with one another. Well, no, I want this. No, I want that. No, I don't want to go to church. Well, I do want to go to church. I don't want to go to revival. Oh, but I do want to go to revival. I don't want to serve God, but I do want to serve God. And you know what that does when you bring children into the equation? Now they're being pulled. Mama wants to live for God, but Daddy don't want to live for God. And somehow I'm stuck right here in the middle of all this. And Mama's wanting me to go to church and live for God. And Daddy's wanting me to go to the deer stand. Or Daddy's wanting me to go out partying. But Mama wants me to live right and go to church. And now that child's stuck. You put that child in a bad situation. Because now that child's got to choose. Am I going to choose my daddy? Or am I going to choose my mama? Well, how about just both of you serve God together?
Amen.
And learn to walk in agreement. And then learn to get in agreement with God. And I'm telling you tonight, it will help your... I don't know why we ended up on marriage in part of this, but I'm just telling you tonight, it will help your home.
Amen.
If you talk to some of the older people in here, like Miss Gail, that's had a mom and dad, it's just... How old are they tonight?
88.
Still in church when they're able to do it. Still serving God. And raised four kids that are either in church or involved in... Her brother's the one that comes sings in that singing group at our church sometime. I mean, serving God. You know where that came from? That came from them being able to see a mom and a dad that just live for God. And I bet if you sit down and talk to Miss Gail, she'd probably tell you there really wasn't a lot of arguments in our home. Mom and Daddy both just served God. I'm just telling you tonight, I pray you young adults are getting this tonight. It makes it hard. When you marry a lost sinner, it makes it hard. Because there's not going to be a lot of agreement there. And it's the same way with sin in your life. It's going to be hard to be in agreement with God when you got sin in your life. You got to get it out. And then as God begins to work in your life, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you would come up here tonight and say, all right, Brother Joey, write me out a list of your convictions. I guarantee you would probably look at some of them on there and say, really? Really? You're convicted against that? Really? But I've learned from Brother Dunn and Brother Farley and other older men of God that God's placed in my life. Both them old men of God have taught me as we went that, hey, if you want, you know, people look at Brother Farley, their church gives $1 million to missions every year. Brother Dunn's church gives $500,000 to missions every year. And they're involved in Mexico and all, I mean, just, you know, they help get our church started. I mean, they're just involved in the work of God. And you know, these younger preachers see them guys like that and they think, oh man, I want that. Okay. You really want that? What are you willing to sacrifice to get that? Brother Dunn's church, 23 years later, giving $500,000 a year to mission, their first faith promise mission was $20,000. And in 23 years, they've grown to $500,000. You say, how did they do that? They had a man of God that was willing to sacrifice, and through watching the man of God sacrifice, they learned to sacrifice. But we've got a lot of these young preachers today coming on the scene that they want all the glory. But you know what they don't want? They don't want the sacrifice. I've watched two other young men of God start churches the same time we started New Hope Baptist Church. You know where both of them guys are tonight? They're at home and they're out of the ministry. And within a year's time, both of their churches closed down. You want to know why they closed down? Because they were not willing to sacrifice. To walk with God. It's like now, people come here and they see our church and they walk around and they look at all this and they say, man, the building looks good. Look at all this. Yeah, but go back 5 years and look at the building, what it looked like the day we walked in here when all that was rotted out, and the building was an eyesore to the community. And I mean, it was, my wife will tell you, some of these people that were here the day we walked in here, I knew when I walked in here, man, this is going to be a job. Thank God God's provided it, but I knew right off the bat, somebody's going to have to do some painting, somebody's going to have to do some carpenter work. We got a major road ahead of us. But you want to know how we got it done? We got people in here, and God's been adding people in here that have just learned to sacrifice. I told a preacher the other day, I said, what you see at New Hope Baptist Church is only there because people have sacrificed. You know, it's like widow ladies in the Bible. I think about Miss Gail sometimes. And I know when Miss Gail pays her tithe, and she probably won't kill me for pointing her out tonight, but I know sometimes it's a sacrifice to do that. When you're living on a fixed income, and that's all you got coming in. But I'm just telling you tonight, until you learn to sacrifice, you'll never be used of God, and you'll never walk with God. You've got to sacrifice. That's why most men today do not walk with God. That's why most people sitting in our church today do not walk with God. Because they're not going to sacrifice. We've raised a generation of convenience. If it's going to cost me, then I don't want anything to do with it. Well, my friend, to serve God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You got to sacrifice. People used to ride by here and think, man, look at that crazy preacher out there with a wheelbarrow and a rake out there spreading gravel. And until Brother Martin, Brother Steele got here, all that gravel you see out there was spread by wheelbarrows, shovels, and manpower. That's how it got done. But it took some people to just come down here. You know, I remember one. I think about Brother Jody. One day, me and Brother Jody's out there, and here he is with a peg leg, barely get around, and raking gravel for about 5 minutes, then he'd sit down for 20 minutes, then get up, rake for 5 minutes, and sit. And I'm like, Brother Jody, just go to the house, man. No, I want to be out here helping. Got to sacrifice. Amen. I'll say this tonight. If we want New Hope Baptist Church to become a powerhouse church, it will only come through all of us sacrificing and walking with God. You got to be able to do it. If you'll stand, Brother Mark comes, amen. I pray that. Thank you for giving me the liberty to go almost.